You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, and we're on with somebody I know pretty well, Nikki Freed. Nikki, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Hey, it's my pleasure. You know, we just had Alligator Ron Bergeron talking about paying it forward and how great the state of Florida was and how much he loves the state of Florida and how much he wants to do for the state of Florida and how much he wants to support people that have like-minded approaches to the state of Florida. So what's your vision for the state of Florida and why does anybody care, Nikki?
Well, first of all, I heard a lot of Ron's show segment, so that was fantastic. He is definitely a true Floridian and look forward to having some more time with him in the future. You know, I really think that Florida is such the hub of innovation. You know, we are a growing society. It's so multicultural and diverse, and we need to make sure that we are allowing those different voices and those different visions to come into it. Because the more diverse ideas are out there, you're going to get more innovation, more job growth, more productivity amongst our workers. And I think that we need to do a better job making sure that we are protecting those who have those types of visions and are thinking outside the box.
So what do you propose? What are some of the outside the box visions that you and your team have that would make Florida better in the coming years?
I mean, we've got a lot of things to work on. I think that first and foremost, we have a beautiful state that is diverse on not just the people, but the culture of our waters and our lands and our agriculture. And we need to do a better job promoting some of those aspects that bring people to our state and stay here. I think that we have to work harder on our K-12 system to make sure that we're educating our children and making sure that they're productive members of our society. Our higher education system, again, we have some of the best universities in the country. And we need to make sure that we are investing into them because those individuals are the ones who are going to stay back in the state and give back, making sure that they are invested in the state of Florida and are growing their companies. And when they come into the state and when you are bringing new companies into the state, to make sure that they have the same vision, that they're going to have equal pay for women, that they're going to have a lifestyle that their workers are going to be able to have a life, but also be wanting to work and be productive members of their communities.
So, you know, I've lived here quite a long time. When I lived here, when I was a young man, you know, Homestead was the breadbasket of America. Today, Homestead is a bunch of apartments and townhomes. Same thing with West Palm Beach and Western Broward. So we're losing a lot of our agricultural lands. What are we doing as a state to, you know, deal with the impact of the changing economy, the agricultural industry?
You know, there's a lot of things. You know, unfortunately, NAFTA has really hurt a lot of our farmers across the state. We're losing a lot of our products. NAFTA, you know, the things that happen in D.C. affect us here at the local level.
Oh, NAFTA. I thought you said NASA. NAFTA. I'm thinking, what are they doing from outer space?
What's NASA doing?
No, NAFTA. Okay, the North American Free Trade Agreement has hurt Florida agriculture, is what you're trying to say. So, on a federal level, they're renegotiating that.
We can talk about NASA, too. I mean, some of our space programs, some of the things that Elon Musk is doing on our space coast, it's phenomenal. The fact that it's happening here in Florida is a whole new wave of technology innovation, which brings more money here to the state of Florida.
Yeah, it does.
But as far as agriculture is concerned, you know, I think that I've spoken to a lot of members of our agriculture community, and there is a recognition that things are changing, but we need to continue. I mean, agriculture is the number two financial support in our state of Florida. It is, you know, we started off as, you know, a piece of land, and we've had our farmers and our agriculture community be the bread and butter of our state. And we need to continue to support them and to make sure that they have the resources. But other things that we are starting to see, too, is a change and an innovation that we need to be promoting some of our farmers and those in the agriculture community to come up with new and innovative techniques for growing products, whether it's maybe new ideas of how to grow different things in Florida that maybe have never been grown before, including, you know, I'm very involved in medical marijuana and cannabis and hemp. That is also a new vision for things that we could be doing on our very fertile land here in the state of Florida.
Well, look, I remember when it was all orange groves and then the big freezes came in the early 80s and blew all that up and it all became developed land in central Florida. And now I've been watching on PBS how the wine industry is having problems in places like France and California. We have a wine industry here. So I got to believe that the agriculture community's got to be getting ready and geared up for, we'll just call it this, the cyclical change in weather. Whether it's man-made or not doesn't matter. It's obvious things are evolving and changing.
Well, yeah, and I think that is true. And I think that with any type of changes in society and changing in economy and the growth of technology and changing, I think everybody needs to grow with the times. And so if, in fact, you know, we've had a huge attack on our citrus plants and our citrus groves across the state from the canker that from years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of our citrus industry is starting to look at new ways to utilize their land. And I've spoken to a lot of them about transferring their groves over to whether it's to grow cannabis or hemp. And I think that there is definitely a push across the country to be coming with new innovative ways. And it's also a national security issue that we need to make sure that we are growing enough products and produce here in our country that we are not relying on other countries for food and nutrition, and to make sure that our children, we have an obesity problem here in our state and across the country. And if we're not teaching our children at a very young age that it's better to take an apple or an orange than it is to have French fries, and even though French fries may taste better to some children, that in the long run, promoting wellness and fitness and nutrition with our children starts at a very young age, and we need to do a better job teaching our children the importance of that for longevity and make them understand and the importance of land in moving forward.
Now, it's hurricane season. Let's just call it what it is. Tomorrow starts hurricane season. Florida's, you know, already gotten hit by a tropical storm. We got flooded twice in the last 2 weeks in our apartment. So what about hurricane preparedness? It seems like last time the entire state was mobilized and everybody freaked out. We have to have a better plan.
We do. We have to have a better plan. And it's a combination of making sure that we are prepared enough that when the storms come, I mean, I lived through Andrew. I was down in the middle. I actually watched the eye of the storm go over my house. And that is a memory that I would not want anybody else to go through. And so there's a balance between making sure that we are prepared, that we are having the right, you know, having our shelters in place, the evacuation zones, making sure that your insurance is up to date, making sure that your insurance policy covers flood insurance and hurricane disasters, that everybody's got the hurricane shutters, and that you have a plan, that if you happen to be in an evacuation zone, that you know where you're going, and that if you're having to stay in your house, that you've got supplies and water and food and medicine to last you a couple of weeks. You can't be relying on government to immediately be able to come in and turn on your water and turn on your electricity. You have to be able to be self-sufficient so that when emergency crews come through, they're not doing life-saving, they're doing ways to get things up and going, and that it's not emergencies at the last moment. But I think that Floridians, got, I don't want to say the word lazy, but we had a decades of not having been hit. Or if we got hit, it wasn't severe like Andrew. And so it was important that everybody stays vigilant, continues to watch the weather, and make sure that they've got a plan for their family and their loved ones and their pets. Most importantly, their pets, because they can't take care of themselves. And we need to make sure that you're finding shelter in locations and evacuation zones where you can actually bring your dogs and your cats and any other animals that are allowed, so that you have a plan for them. Because it is inhumane to think about leaving your animals behind when you have to evacuate.
We only have a couple of minutes left, and there's two important groups of people that I wanted to get your opinion on and what your focus would be. Kids and veterans. Please tell me about kids and veterans and your thoughts about kids and veterans in our state.
They're both essential. I mean, it's both sides of the spectrum. Our children are our future. I've spent the last 15, 20 years working on different aspects of foster care, representing school boards, making sure that our children are educated, but they're our future, and that we need to do a better job taking care of. And I've been very involved in the foster care system. There's, you know, an opportunity for Floridians to give back on an everyday basis to children who don't have the same type of support system that I had growing up. And our veterans, and I mean, God bless them, that they have put their lives and their family on the line to go and defend our freedom. And we need to do a better job when they come back, giving them the resources to get reengaged in society, making sure that if there's medical support that's needed, that they're there. And again, with my involvement in medical marijuana, the issue with PTSD and vets and our first responders is what gets me up every day to make sure that they've got other tools and other resources so that they are not having to resort to different types of, whether it's alcohol or hardcore drugs or potentially life-altering experiences, that they've got resources available to them to make sure that they get the help and the need to move forward and to get their lives back once they come back and are done serving our country.
Nikki, I really want to thank you for coming on the show and laying out some of your points. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon. You got your niece and nephew and your cousins. Your cousins are coming in this weekend, so maybe we can get you down here to see them. But as always, thank you so much for bringing out the best in everything, the state of Florida and in America. I want to thank you so much, Nikki Fried, for being on the show. Thank you so much, Nikki. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Have a great day, everyone.